Welcome back for another Unclicked. We are here with Dan, Little Dan.
The real
Dan
God.
Collar.
Real God.
Little Dan.
That's how it comes up in my phone. Dan, Little Dan Kink or something like that.
Yeah.
And then Jaden Mucha.
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 Mucha. Oh,
okay, this whole okay. time.
That's right. Everybody says something different.
Yeah. So they are here in San Diego via an email with J-Ro and me, basically. That's why you're here.
That's all we had, too.
Been out in San Diego for a few days, and like six or so.
Yeah.
Just kind of cruising around. It's funny because, you know, Jaden is park guy, and you are rail guy, basically. Not to box you guys in too much, but... And then you guys are both out here, and what's it been like? San Diego, just a little bit.
I mean, it's so, you know, usually when I've been here, it's been with other street riders or, like, the whole squad. So we're, like, going around doing a bunch of stuff. But now it's, like, we'll start in the mornings where Jaden can get some altitude in the city parks. And then, like, I don't know, we'll go drive around looking for, like, a rail for me. And it's cool because, like, we both enjoy riding with each other still, but it's just different, like... Now's his time that he's going to be trying to do some shit, and then there's my time that I'm trying to do some shit, too.
Yeah.
You, like, kind of rode a lot of park growing up, too, right?
Yeah, I grew up on, like, big wooden ramps and bowls, which you can't tell now by watching me drop into the skate park, but I love that stuff. You know, concrete's a little different. It's a little scarier,
I agree.
Yeah, you guys are both from Rochester, too, right? Which is pretty cool. Rochester has, like, a pretty good, like, legacy of...
So many. Tony Hamlin, Greg Walsh. There's so many dudes.
Yeah. It's funny how that scene just, like, keeps producing. I think it's just the parks, you know? Like, it's like the parks really do produce.
I'm pretty sure Ben Snowden is from a suburb right outside of Rochester.
Oh, really?
Too. Yeah.
That's funny.
That's funny. Random one.
Yeah. So, when what was that park that you rode all the time?
Extremes.
That's what it was.
I never got to ride that park.
Okay, that was before you. Yeah, so we forgot to do that on Click Plug. The coffee plug. So, I'll just put the graphic in. So, I really need to get on that. So, who would be your guest? That's my.
If I could pick guest, Josh Harrington.
Josh Harrington. That is a good one.
Yeah.
That is a good one.
Definitely, really without a doubt.
Yeah. Yeah, I got a lot to say about Josh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Never going to happen.
No, I know.
Never going to happen. But yeah.
Shoot for the stars.
I heard Hobie wanted him on his team for Battle of Hastings again. Every year somebody's like,
gotta get him, gotta get him.
Josh Harrington. And then he did the story. I think, was it from you that I heard that? Or somebody else?
No, that one wasn't from me.
Oh, Hobie messaged him and was like, hey, Josh, what's up? And he was like, hey, how you doing? And then... He's like, hey, you want to go to Battle of Hastings? No response.
Which adds to the legend.
Yeah. Right?
Like, right? He's like, still there, but fuck it.
Yeah. King of the overgrind.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. King of fucking multiple things.
Yeah. Ramps, rails.
Yeah, we're talking about Josh Harrington. He does a lot of XO grinds, too. And I know Dan do a lot of XO grinds.
Yeah. So, I mean,
have you thought about doing the over X?
Fucking all the time. Yeah. Every time I see, like, a rail where there's grass on the other side, it's like, fuck. If I could just get myself to get into that, yeah.
Yeah.
I think I shot one time. It was pretty gnarly.
He was holding a tree?
Yeah. He's skimming the bushes on the outside. Yeah. Oh
my God. It's so wild.
Yeah, that was a wild one because that was, like, the same day that he did the cover one, too. Like, the cover, the overgrind. Like
the
out rail.
Pull away from the ledge,
like the L.
No, over the L. L. Yeah, over the L out of, like, the apartment complex.
That was my first
drop.
Back cover.
Yeah.
Which is pretty funny. I was, like, hyped because even then I thought Josh Harrington was the man to just, like, be on the same magazine. Oh,
yeah, so cool. That was such a random day. We're, like, pedaling around whatever that city was in Ohio, and we just bumped into Stephen Hamilton, and then it was just like, and then Josh is just doing bangers everywhere. So wild day.
Yeah. Savage.
Josh Harrington.
Just the best.
Yeah. I almost lived with Josh Harrington one time, but it's another story.
Out here?
Yeah. But so you are here. You grew up at Extremes, basically.
I did.
8 years old, you started riding Extremes?
I think nine.
Nine?
Yeah.
Yeah. So what's the story there with, like, kink and being a little shit-footed kid, basically?
Oh, that's so disrespectful.
No, I mean, he's right. That's right. It is what it is. But yeah, I mean, Jay Rowe was like one of the first people I met. Jay was probably like 16 when I was like 9. And I just grew up with him and Matt Antis, who's like the manager of Kink overall, and like Tony Hamlin and Alan and Jesse Twin. Like, that was my introduction to BMX, you know? Other than watching Dave Muir videos before I started riding, was like hanging out with those guys, and it wasn't fucking easy being the little kid with those guys.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, especially Hamlin.
The twins might have been worse. Oh, but yeah. But like, once they got comfortable with me, it was like anything goes. Like, the shit that they would say to me or like make me do, they would be in jail for that. Now it was nothing like super crazy, but it would be like, you fucking couldn't do that with a little kid now.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, it was awesome. Like, I grew up, I've only ridden Kink bikes except for like one FBM for like 6 months, because like that's where I grew up and that's what I loved. So like when I was a little kid, it was like my dream of riding was like riding for Kink.
Wow. And that is crazy, because like J Rowe was 16, Matt Antes was also like 15, 16, 17, and it's like Matt found his way from like the warehouse, and now he's like essentially like the brand manager.
The dude,
like,
he's like,
I'll learn CAD, and he like just learns CAD. So he designs the products, and now he lives in Taiwan for like 6 months out of the year. And it's like, you know, like kind of like chicken egg thing, you know, where it's like, I just found this company first, and now I'll just mold myself into finding a role there, and they just like climb the ladder up. So
just did all of it.
Yeah, it's kind of cool to hear like a backstory like that too, because I think most BMXers that get into it nowadays don't really know it exists that way too.
Yeah.
That you can have like some involvement with the company other than just like team manager
and
riding. So that's a pretty good.
Yeah, that's, I mean, it's a crazy little circle of saying, and it's kind of Jaden's story is kind of the same too, because you kind of rode Kink as well. You were in that scene, and now you're like
now
part
you're
of
here.
It as well. So
yeah, pretty much.
No, it's cool. I mean, like, even when I was a kid, Jay would talk about, like, you know, working for it. It was not just, like, someday you're there. It was, like, you work yourself up. And, like, I started getting free frames when I was 12. And then...
Who gave you your first free frame?
Jay, right when he got the job.
Oh, okay.
And it was like a BMX jam. And I, like, fucked up my Euro bottom bracket. Like, it was fully stripped.
Yeah.
I didn't know what I was doing. I was a little kid. And, Crandall was there, and he was like, we'll give you a frame for like $150. And I was like, what? I'd like, someone's giving me a fucking deal on a frame. This is so cool. And then I went and told Jay, and he like, what, didn't seem stoked for me. And I was a little kid, like, why aren't you happy? And he was like, well, wouldn't you want to ride a Kink? And I was like, yeah, of course, but like, it's not
a deal's a deal.
FBM was big at that time, like with everything. And he was like, well, what if we could get you one for free? And I was like, no way. It was like, I'll call you tomorrow. And this was like before I had a cell phone or whatever. So I like got home from middle school and waited by the phone to like hear from Jay. Wow. he was like, all right, I figured we'd start hooking you up eventually. Like, we'll start giving you stuff when you need it. And I was like, on top of the world.
That's cool. You said the age, but how old were you?
I think 12.
12. That's crazy. That's a crazy hookup. And so I think the first time I met you, you were 14, 15 or something like that. And what I remember is that definitely the conversation was like the fact that you kind of had a good trick choice, an eye for like, oh, you know, I want to do look backs and one footed tables and stuff like that. Yeah. And not necessarily like fly out bar spins and fly out tail whips, kind of like the kids of that age, you know? So what was that, just the influence of?
Yeah, that was just like being around Tony Hamlin and like just that scene. Like, we looked up to dudes like Aiken, just, I don't know. I was brought to look up to guys who, of how they did it, not what they did.
We'll be right back.
Hey, are you a big fan of stand-up comedy? Have you been enjoying laughing? I like laughing. If you get a chance, check out the podcast Stand Up Comedy, Your Host and MC. That's Stand Up Comedy, Your Host and MC, where we have interviews and great comedy sets from all kinds of great stand-up comics. If you get a chance and you want to laugh, I like laughing, Give it a shot. Stand-up comedy, your host and MC.
And I will never call Aiken shit-footed, but...
No.
Well, that's so sick, too. Being that you did, like, that you did do those things and still can, but, like, how you say it, shit-footed. It's like, Hamlin is, right?
Yeah. Yeah. He's and the first one to say that he's shit-footed. Yeah.
Yeah. He's, I mean, he looks shit-footed.
Walking. But, like, That's great. He's going to love that one.
I know. He's not going to be happy.
What, I mean, but like Hamlin had such like good trick choice too. Yeah. You know, like he like used the like the being switch footed as like an advantage, like the one footed tables and wall rides and like doing stuff that like had you just had this advantage in a certain way.
And like he could, when he got really good into whips, like he could whip, he would whip whichever way looked better for the spot. Mm-hmm. Like he was just so good at figuring out both ways.
Yeah. And that is so, was there. I feel like that Extreme Spark like kind of did have everything though. So was it kind of, I don't know, were you battling with kind of like, oh, I should do a bunch of tail whips, or is it like?
No, it never even, that shit never crossed my mind. Yeah. I don't know. I feel like I'm lucky, especially growing up before social media, like just riding with my friends. Like I was never, I wanted to like go higher and I wanted to crank a look back more. Yeah. Like I didn't care to like, those whatever tricks I wanted to learn, it was more natural. Like I wasn't worried about tail whips and bar spins. I didn't even do a bar spin until I was like 16.
Oh, crazy! Yeah.
Nice.
What's the scene like now in Rochester? Because you're there, you split time right between Austin and Rochester.
Yeah, I've been going a lot like for the summers. Yeah. Like my girlfriend still lives in Rochester, so I'll spend summers there, and it's like a million degrees in Austin, so it's nice to like change it up.
Yeah,
but
because you said a bunch of parks that I have no idea what they were.
There was a bunch of parks, but a couple of them closed down.
So what's there now? Is there nothing? Is there no wood parks?
There's Breaking Free now, which used to be Rasp, but the dude like bought the ramps and basically redid the whole park. And then they just built a new outdoor concrete park as well, like downtown Rochester.
Oh, okay.
Which is awesome.
Is that like the first concrete park?
Yeah. They've been working on it for 15 years.
Yeah. 15 years.
Like the point where like...
When I started riding, they were talking about it.
Wow.
Yeah. I don't know what took so long.
That's amazing. Is it good? 15 year.
I'd say 12 year good. I'll give them 12 year good. 15 is a little much. But it's cool, you know? And it's interesting to see, like, there's a new generation of kids, but they're not like little kids. It's like 15, 16 year old kids. Mm-hmm. And like, when we went to Dawn of the Streets, like they were all there together. Oh, and I was like, oh, good. Like they're like actually in it and doing it, not just like random kids, which is cool.
Yeah. You're like, get to see that next generation. Yeah. You're like, oh, all right, you guys are going to do it. So
it's pretty awesome.
How does Jaden become Jaden in Rochester?
Couldn't tell you. I mean, he built a setup in his parents' backyard and he couldn't just, but like, I don't know. It's weird saying this in front of him, but like he's one of the only dudes I know that can do crazy flip shit, but then do like a bar to table 10 feet out of a quarter and just crank it. Yeah. Like it's cool to see he has that, I feel like, slight Rochester influence of like worrying about what it looks like, but then, you know, he lives at Woodward half the year now. So
yeah,
he's in the foam pits. Yeah.
He's in the pits. I'm made of foam.
I'm a foam pit hero.
I mean, it is impressive because it's like, if you think of, you know, when you think of Woodward kids and stuff, and then obviously it is going to come out in the video, but Jaden no-handed front flipped over the fence at Memorial out of the bowl.
Like and 5 feet over it.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Like sheesh. Is it the one with what
people do, like the wall ride on the fence? Or?
No. The far one, the one that Maddie jumped. Maddie's the only one to jump it, as far as I know.
Wow.
I mean, I could we'll pull up the clip for
yes.
Yeah.
Hopefully I can get the video done in time.
Thank you.
Yeah. Dude. Thank you.
Yeah, right.
Did all the locals go crazy?
Nah, they were like, I mean, I don't know.
They didn't even know what was happening.
Yeah.
I feel like I heard like random sounds where they're like you jump the fence straight and they're like, whoa, you know?
Yeah.
Like it's wild.
You know what I mean though? Like stepping outside
20 feet over, like
yeah.
And it's basically almost a flat.
Yeah. So it's like stepping out of that comfort zone of being like, well, this isn't on a, I can do this trick on a box, but
yeah,
this isn't a box jump. I feel like most people would just be like, eh, I'm chilling, you know? So I don't know. I think that stuff's impressive. I think that's the stuff that like separates the, you know, from the crowd.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So I think that's cool shit.
I like taking like box tricks and bringing them to places where like,
atypical
areas,
yeah.
Like no, I like doing regular tricks in irregular places.
That is a good term. So, how do you go from? What was your first trip with Kink? Was it really that AM tour?
Yeah, it was the one. Yeah, okay. It was the AM trip, and I only went because James Steele got hurt since I was still on the flow team.
Okay,
and yeah, that was my first one. But before that, my first trip ever, like without parents, I think I was 13, and we went and stayed at Chris Doyle's house. And like, so that was my, and that was fucking, that was huge for me, you know?
What's the process to get your parents to let you go stay at a random man's house when you're 13?
That one, that wasn't
from
easy.
From your perspective, at least.
I was just so like, oh, the dudes want me to go. And then I was like, shit. Like, I'm going to talk my parents into this. But my dad was kind of like right on board right away. He like got it, you know, he saw me at the skate park with these guys every day.
Yeah,
I think my mom had a little trouble with it because just mom and her little kid like,
yeah,
go off with 19-year-old dudes who yeah. still are complete idiots.
Yeah,
and kids 13 yeah. like, but yeah. And then the first trip was hard too because like flying, I remember my parents were stressing.
Mm.
But after that it was smooth sailing.
That's cool. That's cool. Sick, yeah. What was it, I mean, what was the trip at Doyle's house?
It was just to go ride like that brick house skate park and like B3, and it was like literally just to go, like I think Jay wanted to like just introduce me to more and get me out there. Mm-hmm. Like just to hang out with other people. And you know, for me, Chris Doyle was one of my favorite bike riders, still is, and it was just like, that was really cool to get, like, you know, it wasn't going to stay with some random in Ohio. It was yeah. like, oh, it's your first trip.
Yeah.
You're going to Chris Doyle's house.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah.
That literally is amazing. What, I guess just, I feel like the answer is when you're hanging out with those dudes and then the street setups kind of evolve over time, or?
The skate park closing.
Mm.
It was when Xtremes closed and Jake Petruchik and I were like, riding together every day, and it was literally like, okay, the park's closed, let's just start going downtown and like riding downtown. And yeah, he was like looking at more, I don't know, crusty setups, and I was more like, oh, I wonder if I could jump on that handrail. And then it was like, oh, if I can jump on this handrail, let me try and jump on that handrail.
Yeah.
And it just went from there to like, that's what I liked doing.
Yeah.
And you know, skate park opened up again, and I was so into that that I like, that's just what I wanted to do.
That's cool. That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, I mean, I guess coming out here, how hard is it to ride spots? Because I feel like, yeah, I mean, you know the deal all the time out here. Like,
yeah.
Just like, oh, here's this rail. What's been done?
And yeah.
Yeah. Everything. Yeah. It's like, I mean, San Diego at least has like a lot of rails compared to like a bunch of different places in California. But it is pretty crazy. It's like, just even the locals, the stuff that they've done on top of like, most pros do live in San Diego. And then when it comes to rails, it's like, all right, give me the list.
Literally.
Yeah.
But I guess the good thing about it is that riding is like constantly progressing and people get to see it. So they get to like kind of be a little bit more like express themselves a little bit more. Like Jaden said, we're taking box jump tricks and put them into like different places that you normally wouldn't. Same thing with
street riding.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So
no, I mean, it is tough, but like, it's a good thing it's tough. Like, that's what keeps us going. Mm-hmm. That's what keeps BMX going, is mm-hmm. that like, it has to keep being tough, otherwise it's just stale.
That's true. Yeah, that is very true. Yeah. What well, let's talk about yesterday. Yeah, so yesterday we went out to Chris Master's house. He lives out in Hamul. He has this wild setup at his house, built it himself. Have you seen it?
I've seen from Cody stories. Cody riding.
Yeah, think, Cody yeah. rides mm-hmm. it. Yeah, so Cody and Chris.
Yep.
Yeah, so and we went out there. We're like, oh, it'll be Jaden, you know, some wood ramps in San Diego. Like, there's only Dennis's house in Claremont and stuff like that. And it was like, yeah, let's go out there and have fun. And it's like, he's got an airbag too. It'll be fucking hilarious. And how'd it go?
It was hilarious at first.
It started off great.
Yeah. That's exactly what you'd hope for. Jaden jumped it. It looked fun. I went to jump it.
Nobody had ever, even you have never ridden an airbag. Yeah, so nobody
aren't
had
those
ever.
Things like super bouncy? Like if you hit it, if you land too hard, I'm glad I didn't go.
No, it was, you're right. Yeah. Two out of what? It was 50% of everybody there ate shit the first time they landed on the airbag.
Like just jumping it straight.
Straight jumped it. Like
a 4 foot jump.
Like did not jump it like I was jumping a box jump, straight up went over the lip into this landing. Looped out. Like bike touched and then it just started manualing and I was like, what the hell is going on? And just ate shit like down and had to throw my bike.
And I think it was partially my advice. I'm like, I think you're supposed to lean back because like the bag slows you down. It was the total wrong advice for everybody. Wow.
I appreciate the invite.
Travis jumped it right after me. Exact same thing.
Really?
Gary manualed but held it. Yeah. He's Gary. And then things started heating up. We were trying to do moves on it and Travis flipped it once and like looped out and it was funny. We were laughing and then he turned around, we'd do it again, looped out the exact same way, but stepped on his foot wrong and just snap.
Yeah.
And then it was
fun. Fancy. Fun over. Yeah. Yeah. Basically it was like, we're going to laugh. It was, we all thought we were like the chuckle was, it was funny and then it wasn't, you know? So it was a bummer for pretty much everybody. Yeah. And it's oddly enough, the guy, Chris, was on crutches and he broke his ankle on the airbag.
Doing the same exact thing, basically.
Yeah. Well, a little bit different, but yeah, he like did a Superman or something and then put his foot down and his backpack caught his ankle and he broke it on the airbag. Oh,
it's a cursed airbag.
Yeah.
Get rid of that thing.
Yeah, it's right? Insane. It is like, you said it yesterday, you're like, yeah, respect to Nitro. Yeah. The bag is fucking dangerous.
It's so funny, like, even talking about airbags and stuff, like, I know, I've been to Woodward West a few times. Mm-hmm. Like, I got the privilege to go to Woodward East. And usually when I go to Woodward, and even for the first time I went, I always would just do a flip into the foam. Like, I know how to flip, but it's like, now I'm just doing it to the foam, just as far as I can go. There's always a kid that's like, bro, you can go to the resi. Do on the resi, you can do it. And it's like, no, no. So in my head, it's like, well, I can flip. I'm just enjoying doing it to this, like, into the foam. But it's like, if I do it to the resi, I'm like, shit. You know, it's like, even, I don't know, but I just think of the airbags. Like,
yeah.
He can flip, you can flip. Then it's like, that happened.
Oh, you're just scared of the resi.
No. Well, scared of the resi because it's like, it doesn't feel normal.
Yeah.
Like,
no.
So I can only imagine the airbag.
And there is that, either way, there's that level of comfort. Like, you go into a resi or an airbag, like, I'm going to be fine no matter what.
Yeah.
And in a foam pit, too, but the foam pit is like the most dangerous thing there is.
Yeah. It is.
Is it?
Well, I mean, like, if you, not for like a flip, but like, you do for a tail whip and you don't catch your feet.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And then you're just getting split in half on your seat.
Yeah.
I hate watching kids like learn bar spins into a foam.
Yeah.
Pit.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, those things.
Mm-hmm. Ugh. Yeah. Yeah. It was, and then you tweaked your elbow or your shoulder.
Yeah.
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 I didn't see that one. But
all in about 30
You sure that didn't come
minutes?
From you extending your arms on the front flip? No handed?
What?
You didn't hurt your shoulder from extending your arms on the front flip.
Yeah, what's the story? What's the story with the no-hander and the front flip?
Okay, so I learned front flips with brakes, and it was just like it made the trick so much easier.
Mm-hmm.
And when I took the brakes off, I started getting this weird like fish wiggle in my fronty, and I would like come down kind of strange, like a little bit off axis. So when I started taking the hands off, it like made the front flip so much more controlled. So like when I do a fronty without the no-hander, it's like I'm a little bit loose, but with the no-hander, it's like I can control where I'm at a lot better.
Okay. All right. Same. Fair enough. Yeah. Because when he did the fence one, he's like, yeah, I think I'm going to front flip it. And I'm filming. He didn't mention the hands, and the hands came off, and I'm like,
okay. Yeah.
Yesterday, too.
Oh, yeah.
He, like, there was, like, the quarter to airbag thing too, and he just aired the quarter to like disaster to hop front flip, like bounce front flip, and then bounce front flip tuck. It was like,
you filmed all that?
Yeah.
It looked like just a tramp. Like, he made it look like, I should go try that.
Yeah,
that
looks, that's pretty, yeah, it looked really fun and like, yeah, yeah, without consequence.
No. Literally, yeah, what you were saying, like just taking certain tricks to other things, like that's pretty sick. Like, yeah, that would ever cross my mind.
Yeah.
Jump,
yeah,
on like a trampoline without the bike. Yeah, but just doing that.
Bounce it.
Yeah.
Yeah. We should all go. We should all go out there.
I'll watch it.
The setup does look fun. It sucked that it went down that way. Yeah. Obviously, like, I think, fuck for Travis. I mean, Battle Hastings off the table now. So. Yeah.
When did you get into filming? Because you filmed quite a few different videos, like a bunch of different dudes. Like,
yeah.
How did you get into that?
Honestly, it was just like me and Jake going out riding and riding street, and we like really just wanted to document us like doing shit for the first time. Mm-hmm. So I bought like a Sony Handycam, like a $200 Handycam, and we filmed like every month. We would like put together what we had, and we did that for a while. And then Jake got a new camera, and he kind of got into photos, and he got like an SLR, and we would film with that. And then I got a VX after that. We were like going back and forth, and it wasn't like a competitive thing. It was like we were doing this together.
Yeah,
like whoever had the camera, like we would just whatever, and then we edited it together. And like,
dang, that's pretty
it sweet. Just went from doing that to like Daryl helping, or I would like help Daryl press the button for a while, and then Daryl would like trust me to film second angle. Mm-hmm. And then it was like, okay, well, can you help Kink film this? And like, and then I like needed to make a little extra money, so it was like I think I hit up like Carlson at Vital, and I was doing shit for Vital for a while, like whenever I would go on a trip or something. Like I'd go stay with Aaron Smith in like the Boston area. Mm-hmm. And I'd be like, hey, I'm staying with Aaron, you guys want a video about like what he's up to with some riding? And they're like, yeah, cool. And just throw me whatever. And I just did shit like that for a while.
Dang, that's pretty sick.
And then like Intervention came around, and I got to film, like they split it between Daryl, Calvin, and I, and that was really cool.
Yeah,
so like I had a third of the guys, they each had a third of the guys, so I had like East Coast dudes like Doyle and like Tony, and it was just stuff like that.
Wow.
What, and it seems like it's kind of fallen off though, right? Like you kind of
I've been focused on riding, and then like, you know, I've been hurt a little bit.
Yeah, so, you've been battling a lot of injuries too lately, yeah?
So it's like, I've just kept my focus in riding, getting better, and riding again.
Yeah.
And like, I've done a couple of random non-BMX stuff, mm-hmm. which is cool. It's like, good extra money.
Mm-hmm.
But it'd be fun to like, do more again. Last year, I did like a Brett Merritt video,
mm-hmm.
and that was the last thing I did. But, you know, going out with your friends, and whether you're riding or filming, like just being involved is the best.
Yeah.
I don't like necessarily sitting there and doing nothing if I feel like I can be doing something to help.
Yeah. Nice. What, you brought up the injuries. Health injuries. I feel like you've always been kind of, you know, acai bowls.
Health. You're in the land of acai bowls right now.
I got super into making my own acai bowls, as everybody knows.
Yeah. Where did. Wasn't it fucking Team Weed was getting at you for a while for the acai bowl. Yeah, you were a main character, it was right?
Pretty hilarious. I was not offended. I had that coming.
Where did that, I guess it just fucking, they're good.
They're good. Yeah. And, you know, it's like dessert, might as well have a healthier dessert for breakfast.
True.
And, yeah, it was weird. I would get so many questions from kids like, hey, what's the recipe? Like, dude, I'm not like a nutrition guy. Would make a fucking acai bowl in the morning.
They did look nice though. I would always say stories or whatever.
Man, it got expensive.
they can be expensive. You talked about kind of when we were at the Tulip Park, you talked about kind of like being healthy and that weight difference and all that stuff. Like what was the deal there? I know you have the like Greg Walsh has helped you out a bunch, which is obviously, I mean, for the people that don't know, Road Fools industry insider, like
Primo, I mean, Kink and then Primo. And he hit me up. Like he would like hit me up and saw I was like going to Planet Fitness on my own. And it was like, hey, if you're ever in town and you just want to even use the like, I don't know, fitness bike thing, he'd be like,
come swing a fucking mace around.
At that point, he was like basically just trying to get me to stop by. And then he would like, so he could like help me or teach me something if I wanted to learn it. And then I hurt my shoulder, or separated my shoulder right after snapping my kneecap, basically. And
oh, man.
He was like,
snapping kneecaps.
Yeah. And he was like, hey, man, if you want help, like, I will help you get that back as soon as I can. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, like, I'll come in. And, you know, it's like a gym and it's a little more intense looking than anything I'd ever done. Yeah. But I was like, I know Greg's super nice dude and, like, he's the man and he knows what he's doing. And I went and, like, I was supposed to be off my bike for, like, 4 months. And I was back on my bike in 3 weeks.
Oh, wow.
And it was like,
what?
It was like, yeah, it was kind of like freakish timing. But it was him being like, just knowing what to do and knowing, like, not like a PT person that's like, okay, like, you get to this point, stop. He was like, if you feel pain, we're not going to do that anymore. But if you can do a full push up right now, we'll, like, change the angles of your shoulders and, like, strengthen all around it. And then that's when, like, the mace thing comes in too. It's like a lot of shoulder stuff. And it's getting, like, all of the range, not just, like,
the range that you're lacking.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was, like, yeah, after 3 weeks, I was back to riding. And that was, like, this is important. Like, mm-hmm. I want to keep this up. And he was, like, if you want me to train you, like, for real, he's, like, you can just keep coming here. And I just started going to classes, and it's been awesome.
And that, he started that for the shoulder injury, right?
Yeah.
I remember talking to you a little bit about, like, the kneecap situation. I think we talked a little bit about it. And how, like, after that happened, how did you feel? Like what was your thought process, especially, like, being fully engulfed in riding, filming? Like,
that one sucked because that was during filming, like, the real BMX.
Ah, okay.
So it was, like, I was halfway through my part, and it was going better than I expected. Like, I was really happy with what we had. And then that happened, and I was, like, I have 3 months left to finish this. I was, like, am I seriously done right now? Like, this fucking happened right now out of all the times to have, like, a first major injury. And it was like, I mean, I don't drink much and I don't smoke, but I was like, I'm not going to drink at all. I was like, the second I can, like, do a leg lift, I'm going to sit there and fucking move my leg. Mm-hmm. And I was just, like, completely engulfed and focused on that. And it was like, I used kind of my pain and frustration to be like, I'm getting through this and I'm gonna finish this part. And I don't know, I think I was back on my bike in 7-8 weeks
from a split kneecap.
Yeah.
Did they, like, wire it together or anything?
Two screws and wires.
Wow. 7 weeks.
Yeah,
that's crazy. And then, so for the people that don't know, when you have an X Games part, you have a deadline and they have alternates, so if you don't finish your part, you're out.
Yeah, essentially someone else would have just taken the spot. And it was like, that was always a dream of mine to have that. Like, I knew I was not going to be an X Games contest guy. Mm-hmm. So when that shit came up, I was like, man, I hope someday, like, I could possibly get in that. Mm-hmm. And then it happened. And I was like, just, you'll get through this. Like, just make it work.
What did it happen? Did it have a feeble pullover down the rail? Is that what it was?
Yeah. It was like an outledge to, like, second stage of a kinked rail. Ugh. And it was like, started to rain. And that was the first day Stu went out with us to film from behind the scenes. And my sister had just had a baby 20 minutes prior. So I get this text that, like, hey, your sister had a baby, blah, blah, blah. And then, like, I didn't respond or anything. Try that. And I'm like, cool. I'm going to be in the hospital too. 1,600 miles away. So, but yeah.
Was it first try?
That was just like, yeah. And my confidence was really high at that point. Like, things that were kind of more one and done were working out for X Games. Yeah. So it was like, fuck it, you can do this. And it was a lot closer than I thought it was. And just fully missed. And, like, there was a metal plate on the ground. And I was like, oh my God, just don't hit your head. Like, keep your head off the ground. Yeah. And I just, like, went like that. And I think my leg was just perfectly bent and my knee hit before the rest of my body. Mm. And I knew right away that, like, something had split.
Oh.
And, yeah, I, like, was laying there, and I, like, saw my leg was straight, moved my toes, and I was like, okay. You, like...
With that, did you feel, like, did you tear any, like, ligaments at all?
No. Oh, man, I got lucky. That's but good. I also didn't move my leg. Like, I knew something was off, so, like, I started pulling my pant leg up and saw my kneecap wasn't there, and that, like, half of it was down my shin, and then I assumed the other half was pulled up higher.
Because they're on tension, right?
Yeah.
So it's like... They just, like, let go, and they like just go to the we are in a breakup. We're moving to different coasts.
Yeah. Yeah. We're going different directions. This isn't working.
Yeah.
Wow. Ugh. So
yeah, I feel like I would have puked.
I always thought that, but I was in, like, I think just such shock and such, like before Daryl had even helped me, like, stand up and get to the van, I Googled, like, snap kneecap, how long for healing process.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I was on the ground, like, you'll just get fucking through this.
Yeah. That's crazy to be, like, of that mindset, like, oh, yeah, fuck the pain. Let's see when we're back.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. Like, right?
That's cool. Has there been... So you've stuck with the health thing. I mean, I feel like you've always been relatively healthy.
I grew up, I like kind of started taking care of myself a little better.
When did you grow up?
I mean, I guess never. That was a stupid choice of words. I had to take that one.
Yeah. So, I mean, did that start in Austin, or was it literally like from the were you going to the gym a bunch before the shoulder thing?
I was going before. It was more like, I don't know.
Casual.
Yeah, but I think it was like, and this, I don't want this to sound too dark, but it was like, sometimes I feel like I needed a reason to get out of bed.
Mm-hmm.
And like, if I could wake up at 7 a.m., go to the gym for 45 minutes, and then be like, all right, I did something for myself today. Now I can go ride and do like that. If I like just woke up whenever, I feel like I would have been lazy. And like, I just wanted like to give myself some discipline. Because riding BMX, we can do everything whenever we want.
Yeah.
So it was like, I want a little more.
That's a very... I feel like people underestimate... I feel like people listening should take that as like a valuable piece of information.
Right.
Because it's like summer vacation. You don't have anything to do. And then you're kind of looking forward to school because it's like a different change of pace. And you're like... And it's like having a schedule and a reason to do certain things. Because when you're a pro rider, you don't... I'm not filming anything today. I guess I'll just cruise the park and then set my phone against a bush.
Literally.
And shoot a clip.
If it's not,
you know, like,
yeah, true.
Yeah. If it's not a trip or it's not like, all right, I'm going to film that day, you have all this free time to sit and think or be like, what the fuck am I going to do? And, you know, I ride every day, but you can only ride so many hours in a day. There's like other shit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's an important thing for people to do is just to have something else to focus on, a reason to get out of bed, in a sense.
Like you said,
start your day and start it right.
And that's cool to hear because almost like you said, it's setting a tone for the rest of your day. Like you're getting out of bed, working out. It may not be like the best of the workout or the best day of the workout, but you doing it is already initiating like, all right, so.
Starting your day on a positive note.
I don't know. I feel like fucking get Travis to do the same thing.
What
I mean? Like, hopefully this injury, like,
he's
supposed to
move in with me.
Oh, he is?
Yeah.
In Austin.
He was supposed to move in with me in, like, 3 weeks. Like, Hastings was the only thing holding him back, but now it's going to be, like,
a little bit longer.
When he can drive, when he can get good, but I still, like, he still plans on moving with me, and I talked to his mom, who lives in, like, middle of nowhere, Texas, and she was like, you need to get his ass there with you.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I feel like getting him out of the... I mean, yeah... Where is he? Riverside or Marietta?
Temecula?
Same. That's all the same.
Marietta,
sorry,
Temecula.
Sorry, all those people. But, you know, it's a far off land.
Yeah.
909. But, yeah, I feel like, I mean, hopefully just have Travis can parallel your story in a sense of like, hey, I got hurt and I'm going to focus and I'm going to do this shit. Because, I mean, he's still so young.
Yeah.
It's like being a pro rider. I think many people have said it, but it's like you don't want to take advantage of it because one day it'll be gone. Mm-hmm. You know,
and
so.
I feel like longevity is the hardest and most important thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, it's, you know, we can all get lucky, we can all do a bunch of crazy shit or feel good on our bikes for these periods of time, but like keeping that going is the fucking hard part.
Yeah, yeah, mm-hmm. That's true. And being able to get back on the bike and want to be able to do like another feeble fucking pullover rail, you know, like that idea of like,
I've noticed too, like been watching Dan forever, but like, with you working out and like battling through your injuries, like I watch you, I can see in your videos, like more bar spins into grinds, more bar spins out of grinds. And it's like, if anybody don't do that type of trick on a day-to-day basis, they know that it's like, it's hard, it's scary, no matter how many times you do it.
Yeah.
But watching you do it, it's like, oh, he's on it. Like, I can tell he's on. That's sick. That's sick to watch, though. I think a lot of people do take, like you said, being a pro for granted or just riding for granted if you're able to do it all the time. So that's sick to watch, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's. I think like.
Listen up, Jaden.
Yeah, Jaden.
I'm not worried about Jaden.
No, I mean, yeah, he'll be, he'll be just fine.
Yeah, he'll be fine.
But it's like, I think with the gym shit too, like, I went from, you know, going to like a Planet Fitness by myself to like actually caring about what I'm doing and like learning how to do things right with like going to Wolf Brigade and Greg and stuff. And I think that's like, if you look at videos of me from 3 years ago to now, like, I have a different body shape.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I have more, like, I wouldn't have been able to do a bar to grind for 3 hours 3 years ago.
Yeah.
Like, it's just like, taking care of myself has made riding more fun and like, I don't know, more longevity, I feel like it'll give me, obviously.
Well, yeah, I mean, there is a strength and a fitness and a, you know, what's the fucking word, enter word here.
Endurance.
Thank
you. Is that
you.
The one you were looking for? Yeah,
that was it. Yeah,
like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, I know. It was,
I didn't
want to
be
somewhere.
Wrong.
No, it was... This is what I do. I just, my brain just shuts off on the podcast.
Isn't it pretty crazy? Like talking about endurance and filming, like you and Jake would go out and even filming like video part stuff, that how we can be so into like, oh, I'm going to keep on trying it. Then we get hurt. And it's like, sometimes it could be a setback, but you took advantage of like working out. So what do you feel like a part of you like, put that into working out to be where you're at right now? Or do you feel...
Yeah, I feel like especially with the like strength and conditioning shit, it's like, if I can try a trick 1,000 times one day, I can make it through whatever the fuck he's asking me to make it through.
That's sick.
Like, and yeah, I feel like that is like, you know, we're built for that. Like, so stuff like that is less toll. Like, it's, you might be more out of breath, more exhausted, feel like you're gonna die. But it's less tolling because you're like, I'm not going to get hurt. Just push.
Yeah.
Okay.
Wow. Yeah. I feel like, is that, I had a question about the contender line and like, you had the boxing thing and like getting beat up and like coming back. And it's like, is that where that whole thing is?
Kind of. And it was more relevant. It's more relevant now than when I even thought of it, unfortunately. Yeah. Way unfortunately.
You manifested it?
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, yeah, my first actual bone break was like, 2 weeks after I got my first contender ring, I broke four ribs, starts. And I was like, wow, I signed up for this. Yeah. But yeah, it was more of like, just like, you know, pushing through. Like, bike riding is hard. You got to fight through shit physically, yeah, and I feel like mentally even worse. And like, yeah, that's what I thought. The contender was like a good name for that. Not like a personal ego thing, but like BMX riders in general.
Yeah, no, that's cool. So the whole thing, the boxing scene with fucking Sketchy Dave was hilarious.
I had nothing to do with that.
Oh, really?
They called me. So Daryl, Dave, J-Ro, and my friend Jake made the original contender promo, like the no riding skit. Didn't tell me. Like, Jay and Dave paid out of their pockets to rent the whatever gym that was. And Daryl called me one night, and I think they were probably all drunk and just finished like watching it and were laughing. And he was like, be by your computer in an hour. And I was like, what? I literally was like, why? What are you talking about? And he was like, just be ready. And then he like FaceTimes me 2 hours later. And he's like, all right, click this link I just sent you. And like, asked me like, watch my reaction. And I was like crying laughing.
Oh my God.
Because there's so many digs at me in that. If you've been around me personally, like, you'll get it. Like, he says something about last fucking place because I got last place at the Vans contest. I got invited to. Like, he's talking about coming back swinging after it, and like, it's just so funny.
That's amazing.
Which Vans contest? The HB one?
The HB one. Oh, it was like the only one I ever went to.
the is it the Rebel Jam?
One that was like at the Vans Skate Park.
Okay,
yeah,
the
street invitation.
All the crazy rails and stuff.
And so it was like 30 people for that. 30 people were supposed to be invited. And so it was like, everybody gets like at least $200. Like, last place gets like $200.
Yeah.
So I go up, they're like, all right.
Shout out to that. It was a $6,000 just for fucking.
Yeah. Except for me. Yeah. So an extra person got invited. 31 ended up there. And so I am right there when they're like, all right, line up, get your checks. And I was like, she's like, what's your name? I was like, Dan. She's like, what's the last name? Collar. And she was like, I was like, what? She was like,
really?
Yeah, I was like,
oh, what?
I was like, what do you do? She's like, sorry, we only have checks for 30 people, and there was 31 in the contest, and you were 31.
It was like,
oh my God, was
wow.
31's your number now.
31. And I was staying at Travis's, and like he did pretty well in that contest, and he was living with his grandparents at the time, and his mom came to watch. And his mom was so brutal on me about it. She was like, do you want us to get you a last place cake? Talking so much shit to where Travis, who's so good at talking shit, was even like, mom, like, come on, give the guy a break. He's had a rough day. Wow.
Travis is brutal,
he
dude.
He can be brutal. Yeah. But he means well.
Yeah, he's got those like quick cuts. That you say, like, fuck, I don't know. I'm questioning things now. Judgmental trap. contender, you talked about Travis Simpson. We talked about Travis a lot on this, but
he's one of my best friends.
Yeah, Travis moving to Austin. Why did you originally move to Austin, and how long ago?
I moved like summer 2017,
mm-hmm.
and it was more like. Well, technically, I guess I moved earlier, but I didn't have a place to live. Like, okay. I left January 1st, 2017 with, like, no plan. And it was like I had some, you know, I had some family issues. I went through a breakup. I had some friendship issues. And it was like everything just felt like it crumbled at once. And it was like either stay here and be miserable or, like, get out of here. And mm-hmm. it was like you know, I'm fortunate that I have BMX and like, I don't need to be anywhere right now. Like, let me go do something else. Like, let me change my life. And so I just like drove down to Austin and bounced on couches for a bit. And it was awesome. Like I think I was miserable at the time, but like looking back, like that was one of my favorite things was just like being out on my own, nowhere to live.
Someone's like finding your way.
Yeah. And it was like, even the long 24-hour drive down, it's like, it's great, just time with myself to think and realize like what do I really want and like what matters. And so it was like I went to Austin and I was treated like family with everyone. Like it was like football Sunday or Super Bowl Sunday or what the hell ever, and like Chase invited me over with Daryl and just random shit, and Aaron would invite me to do stuff, and I knew it was like where I wanted to be.
That's cool. Pretty sick, yeah. And you ended up living with Aaron for a little while.
Yeah. I was there till like April or May, and then I went back to Rochester to just basically get my stuff. And I was driving back to Austin again with no plan, but like I'm going to find like a place to live. And Aaron was like, "Hey, how do you feel about living with me?" And I was like, "Fuck yeah, dude." Yeah. Like he's got a nice house.
Oh, he extended it to you.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. That's
cool. Like, he knew I was looking for somewhere, and I was like, he was going to help me find something. And then he was like, do you want to just live with me? And it was awesome. Like, him and his wife, Bethany, are so kind. And, like, Aaron and I would go out riding every morning. And, yeah, we filmed that Odyssey Still Standing video.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just, that it was sick.
He's like a really positive guy to be around. Like, I don't know. It's like Aaron in general seems like if you're around him, you're going to want to like, you just.
Especially in Austin.
Yeah.
I feel like he can, if he pedals down the road, people like honk his horn, honk their horn and be like, hey, you know, like
he knows someone everywhere.
Yeah.
Like, wow. He's like an Austin celebrity of sorts.
Austinite.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I was thinking about it. I was like asking you like, what does Aaron do on a daily basis? Because it could be like I just imagine it's like a million different things.
Yeah.
Like he has no schedule, but then.
Yeah, he's always doing something. Now, I don't know. You know, he's got a daughter.
Oh, yeah.
So things are a little different. But, like, at that point, like, I would wake up and he would already be gone. Like, he would already have gone golfing and, like, he'd come back and he'd be like, oh, yeah, let's go ride for a little. And then he'd be like, well, I'm going to go work on the Porsche. Yeah. And then, like, he just always had something to do with someone. And, like, yeah, he's always moving.
Interesting. I'm going to go do this podcast and then I'm going to play baseball with,
yeah.
You know, like.
I mean, yeah. we got to go to the...
Do a hop whip in front of a Ferrari for a promo or something. I don't know.
I got to drive the supercar on the Circuit of Americas because of him.
That's cool.
He had a hookup and like we got to go like drive a real racetrack.
Did they give it to you afterwards?
No.
Don't you have a
Shouldn't have said that. So you have to explain it.
Oh, do I?
I mean, you. I mean,
as far as I'm concerned, you have one. So
yeah.
I do.
So
yes,
there. I think even when we went out to Austin and we stayed at Aaron's house while you lived there, and I noticed you had that Golf R.
Yeah,
and I was like, how the fuck? I'm like. Golf R is an expensive ass car. Like that, I mean, in my world, it's like a $40,000, $45,000 car.
I think it was like $38,000, $39,000.
And I was like, Dan, this is a fucking expensive ass car. How do you have this car? And you're like, I don't know. Like, so, I mean, I guess you have to explain it. Like,
no, I.
And I don't think you should necessarily be ashamed about it because when you posted the R8 and I was like, wait, you own this? Like, I think there's more to it, and you can explain it, and then I'll say what I think afterwards. And it's a good thing, so don't...
No. So the Golf R was on me. That was like taking out a big car loan.
Okay.
And so I was constantly swapping cars for a while because it's like I love cars, but I kind of keep it to myself. Like, I've never really talked about it too much with people just because... I don't know, not big public guy.
Yeah.
And so the R8 thing came about because my brothers and sisters have families. And so my parents were trying to help them like get set up with their homes to make sure they're good. Because my dad is like an engineer, does decent for himself, doesn't ever spend any money on himself or whatever.
Yeah.
So he helped them. And then he knew I was set up in Austin. Like, I was fine. And he was, like, I think looking at it like a number, like, okay, help them with houses. Well, I know, like, maybe I could pitch in and help him with something absurd that he could never afford on his own.
Yeah.
So, like, he was like, all right, let's figure it out. Like, let's work a number to where you pay for this and I'll help cover the rest. So it was like my parents just helped me because they wanted to help all the kids at once.
Yeah.
Oh, that's sick. So,
and it was, yeah, like...
That's sick.
You're like, I'm going to go for the super.
Yeah.
No, I mean, that was, like, not even, like, they knew I've wanted something like that my whole life. Yeah. But never realistically.
Yeah.
And then it was like, hey, what if we help you get an R8? And I was like, fuck.
Really?
And then I kept it to myself for a long time.
Yeah, you had it for how long before you posted anything about it?
5 months before I posted anything, and then everyone thought it was like a rental or a joke.
Yeah.
But it was like 3 months before I even told Daryl. And yeah. Like, I see Daryl every day.
Yeah.
And I had to tell Aaron because Brett was driving me around a lot because we lived together.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to take the car out to like street sessions.
Why not?
And Aaron was like, where's your car? And he legitimately meant my Golf.
Yeah.
And I was like, but I didn't realize that. I was like, what do you mean? He's like, oh, where's that R8? And I was like, who told you? And he was like, who told me? He's like, you have one? You fucking have one, don't you? And I was like, oh, shit. Yeah. So, yeah, it's not something I like to talk about, but here it is on a podcast. What's
that? I mean, I feel like I heard that you were driving it around to spots and it was like ridiculous because you had to like disassemble your bike completely, like bike bag status.
You guys take the wheels off.
Yeah.
And I have...
Forks and bars?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
I tried to downplay it.
Because I'm imagining you have to put it in the front, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I have the bike rack thing for it. Oh, like the C-sucker.
The C-sucker.
Okay, yeah.
But it literally takes me 5 minutes to take it apart and 4 minutes to put it back together.
Yeah.
So it's like... And if I go into a store or something, I don't have to worry about anything. Like, just take it apart. It's impractical, and it's absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah.
But it's... I love it, so it's worth
that's,
it.
Yeah, yeah. It I would take an. I mean, I have an impractical car as well. You know, so
if you take it to the session, you know, good vibes there, good vibes back.
What do you have another car?
I don't right now.
Oh, you still really only have an R8.
That's but amazing. I live in downtown Austin, so like,
yeah, you don't really drive all that.
No,
much.
Like even to go to House Park, whatever. Like I pedal every day.
Yeah.
So it's only when we're going out to spots. And then if we're going out to spots, I'm not super worried about like parking or anything because we're usually driving up to spots.
Yeah.
So. It's pretty foolproof. And then if we're going somewhere, homies usually drive and don't throw them gas money.
That, so when it was like, okay, so your parents do well and you have essentially what most people would consider to be like a crutch. Like, oh, I don't have to struggle. I don't have to like worry about stuff because I can ask my parents for help, and if they love me and they'll help me out, you know? But I feel like in a sense, it's almost makes the fact that you do what you do even cooler, because mm-hmm. it's like, you're not doing it for essentially, I mean, you're doing it for a paycheck, of course, but like you're doing it because you love it.
Yeah.
You know, like, cause you're doing it cause you want to do it.
Yeah.
You have no outside motivators in that sense where it's like, I could get in the family business.
Or yeah. It doesn't seem like you didn't rely. Yeah, like, you didn't rely at all. Like, just even knowing about BMX and even like completely having discipline to go to the gym at least, then to that, to keep you like fresh on your bike. Like you're not relying on like, okay, well, if I don't keep doing it,
like,
then
I have a fail safe.
Yeah. Like, and you can tell just off of just like your work ethic. So seeing that, and then being able to being a parent myself and thinking about my kids, like, I just want to take care of them forever.
Of course.
But I think a lot of the culture growing up, you think like, well, when you turn 18, you got to move out.
Yeah.
Right. It's like, oh, it's kind of strange when you should be able to kind of like structure it where if your kids are trying to do what they love to do or want to do, then you should be able to try to like have an environment or like kind of show them or like guide them in a way where it's like, well, if that's what you're trying to do, then by all means, we're going to support it. But some kids do literally go after what they want to do. And when they do that, and it's like, well, that's sick. And being that that's how you acquired the car, not off of just like, well, I need one of these, get it for me. And it was like, well, it was more to it than just that, you know? So it's pretty sick to hear it.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I think struggle definitely produces, you know, the characters of what a person will be, you know, like whether it's absolutely good or bad in the end, you know? And it's like, and I think you've shown that you are down for that for the right reasons and go through the process. So that's why I think it's like, and the fact that you didn't necessarily want to fucking tell the world that you had this.
No, yeah.
You know,
it was like, yeah, it's like that's for me, you know, like that's my personal, like, I guess, private thing. None of it was like, I can't show people like, look, this is my life or I got this. Like, and it's not like my, like, there's no like trust fund. I've never been like, here's money, live. This was like, my dad started to sell his business. He wanted to help out the kids.
Yeah.
I was a little different situation. You know, I don't have a family. I'm set up in Austin. Mm-hmm. Fuck it.
Like, yeah. Like, I mean, that's so different. Yeah. And Jaden has a Lamborghini.
Yeah, he does. Yeah.
A Van Brigitte.
Yeah, like Van Brigitte. Van's a lot more practical.
What's it like driving that around?
It's so fucking fun.
Yes,
I mean,
it's like I usually only take out at night too, so like no one could ever see it was me.
Yeah,
and it's like the roads are empty and it's unreal. Like I've been in fast cars, but having something that like it just takes off like a rocket ship.
Oh yeah, I'm sure
it does. It feels like you're in a video game. Like when I've gone on like back mountain roads by myself, this is like a video game where you could actually die, but you feel invincible.
Yeah.
Knock on wood, I gotta be careful, especially after saying this.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just so fun. Like I, like whenever anyone comes to stay with me now, like Nathan, Hobie, like all my friends from Rochester, I'm like, all right,
Hobie's like, let me put the fucking sea suckers on the back and I'm gonna hold on.
Yeah, seriously. But everyone's like, fuck, that was so fun. Except for Jay. Jay was like, I'm going to throw up. I fucking hate this. Like, get me out of this car. This is so stupid.
Jay's an enigma in the sense that he has to drive at all times.
Yeah.
He gets motion sickness if he doesn't drive. So literally, I've been on epically long King trips, and nobody has ever driven the van except for Jay.
Wow. It's true. It's pretty crazy.
Yeah. Really? And I think I'm going to die at times, too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, Jay, you're drinking a soda this way while texting, and you're going 90 miles an hour.
He's better than he used to be. He used to literally, like, read skate magazines to be like... it was nuts.
Okay.
I would love to have Jay on the podcast. He's one of the most entertaining people. He's
very interesting.
Yeah, he's a multi-leveled human.
He's a kook. But like an intelligent kook.
Yeah.
I think it's pretty cool that people get to hear this side of you. Like, it's cool that you also keep a lot of stuff to yourself, like having a personal life and not like showing it and showing other things that you're passionate about. So I think people get in here and like just think about like, oh dang, he has a car like that. Oh, he also works hard like for his own well-being, but also like setting a good example for like being a professional bike rider. There's more to you than just like being a bike rider. It's like a lot goes into it, and that's pretty sick. Like, thanks. Yeah, yeah, dude, for sure.
I feel like that's like a lot of us though. It's hard too with social media to like I would love to show more of the like gym stuff, but at the same time, I don't want people to think that like I'm pulling away from bike riding or yeah. like.
Well, does that? I feel like maybe the acai bowl kind of stuff kind of made you like, I'm gonna trim that shit down too.
Yeah,
you know, because yeah. it's like, I mean, you catch flack for it, and it's like it's such a silly fucking thing, and it's like.
Like, to me, it was nothing. I was yeah. like, it was the point where I was doing it every day, so it was, like, funny.
Yeah.
Because it was like, oh, everyone expects this.
Yeah.
And then if I didn't do it, I'd be like, are you okay? So,
like, yeah. yeah.
yeah. What'd you eat today?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But then you're just getting memed over dumb shit. Yeah. You know, it's like, oh, I'm going to just trim back the random yeah. stuff.
Are you vegan?
Know? No.
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 Big meat guy.
Big meat guy. Huge on protein. Yeah. Meme.
No. I deserve that one too. Yeah. So bring it.
Let's talk about general sponsor stuff. Obviously, the claw thing.
That's actually course. Pretty funny. If we want to talk about that for a sec.
Sure.
I got kicked off twice.
Really?
Yeah.
Congrats.
How the hell that?
Thanks. Yeah. It's pretty impressive. So, when COVID started, I think they kind of freaked out, didn't know what was happening.
Yeah.
Like, and orders didn't go through from the factory or whatever. So he calls me out of the blue and was like, hey.
This is the first time?
Yeah. This was 2020. And it's like, starts going on about how, you know, they're not sure what's going to happen, blah, blah, blah. He was like, so we can't pay you anymore. And I was like, well, that was like kind of out of nowhere. Like, fuck. I was pretty bummed. I told Burns that day, and Burns was like, what the fuck? He was like, no way. And like, Burns lit into them. It was like, Burns and I have been friends for a long time, and he's always been super supportive of me. And he like lit into them, and this was like on a Friday. And on a Monday, I get a call like, hey, can we pretend that didn't happen? Like, can we get you a new contract? Pretend that didn't happen. And I was like, yeah. I was like, you know, I get it. The world's fucking upside down right now.
Yeah, we had that. We had advertisers pull out and like, we're like, yeah, we don't know what's going to happen. This is scary. We're out.
Yeah.
You know, like we're just pulling dollars.
I'm going to give my quick opinion on that. Fuck that.
Yeah, I get
that. The reason why I say it, because I stand real heavy with riders that you're the first to deal with the situation when things get bad versus like everything should be watched, right? And when things don't go the way everybody think they should go, you're the first to get cut. Something don't go right, you get cut every single time. So that's why I say that. Yeah.
Well, yeah.
It is interesting. It was like that was an eye opener for me. Like, you know, I know nobody's safe from anything, but I like, you know, those guys were always really nice to me and supportive, and it was like, okay, it was like things get bad.
I'm on the chopping block.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. My small amount of money I cost them on the chopping block.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, year goes by, and he's like, was basically like, yeah, like, I don't know, we're just trying to trim things down.
Was it also on Friday?
It was the first day of Montana trip. I'm not sure. So I just got on a kick trip, and I like got the phone call in the morning, and I was like, I know what this is.
Yeah.
At this point, like, okay, you guys did this once. Mm-hmm. I get it.
Yeah.
And, you know, I thank them for, like, awesome trips. The team's fucking sick. I don't regret it. Like,
It is what it is. Every sponsorship ends.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And then, I don't know. I mean, we have something else going on potentially, but I don't know if we can say anything yet. I don't know if it's official, so.
I don't know what you guys are talking about.
You?
What?
Parts? Sponsor?
I don't have a parts sponsor.
Okay. Not after Saturday night or Friday night.
So. Why are you going to do me like that? I didn't say.
We'll let the people wonder about that one.
Yeah. It's a good one.
Yeah.
Cliffhanger.
Yeah, so nothing else going on, apparently. So. Well, you were talking about premium.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I'm not.
I was saying, oh, yeah, I don't know what's happening. You know, I mean, I'm talking to somebody, but nothing official. That's the answer.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's not a weird thing to say publicly.
I don't know. Not at all.
Yeah.
No. I think it'd be weird if, like, you didn't say it.
No, yeah. Well, I'll just beep over premium.
Like, the reason why I say it would be weird if you didn't say it is because it's like, well, that's normal. It actually is, because, like, I think a lot of riders probably do talk to a bunch of different companies.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
That's cool, though, because it's like somebody's paying attention to you. Somebody's like...
No, yeah. I'm like, yeah, it'd be cool if the premium thing worked out. Like, I think their team is fucking sick.
Yeah.
I think, you know, Connors, Joey, they're so sick. And, like...
They are.
Revamping something like that, like, and Harrington used to ride for them, that's cool as fuck.
True.
Yeah. So yeah. I don't know, that'd be cool.
Yeah. And then obviously Kink stuff, I feel like Kink is just like a trip every month or two.
Oh yeah,
basically. So what is there stuff in the works? Is there gonna be another full length?
There's no talks right now, but I can't imagine we won't be doing something like that in the next year or two.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, that's like, that's what we've always done.
Do you ever go on a Kink trip and then somebody does something and you actually hold on to it?
Yeah.
Like, even like right now, like Miami or something. Like, I mean, you know.
We didn't, but I feel like it was that level and everyone was like, that was fucked.
That, like, was a video part banger.
Yeah. Like, yeah. This is a trip video, but that was fucked. Like, we can't just throw that one away.
Yeah.
Not that it's throwing it away, but like, we need to hold on to that for something special.
Yeah,
right.
I think we definitely do that, which is pretty sick.
What's it like, you know, the old Kink days? Obviously, I mean, you were around with like Sure and Ariaga too, right?
No, I mean, I was a child.
Yeah.
Like, I met those dudes when I was like 9, 10. Yeah. Like Dirty Dan and Ryan and Jim Selinsky, of course.
Yeah, because
he's from up there. But, I mean, I've been through, though, two full generations. Like, Squash It was, like, me, Doyle, Sexton, Tony, Aaron Smith, Ben Hiddle.
Yeah.
And then it was, like, you know, Intervention was this middle ground of, like, things changing. And then it was, like, me, Calvin, Nathan, Travis, now Jacob.
And Kink was your very first sponsor, right?
Only.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Nice. Only, yeah. Yeah. That's crazy. That is it. I mean, that's cool. That's
it is.
That is, you know, like,
it's pretty nuts.
Yeah, that is. Yeah. I mean, you brought up Jake a couple of times, but Jake is the same thing.
Yeah,
like, Rochester kid, works at Kink now.
Yeah,
probably started in a warehouse, right?
Yep.
Yeah, and like now he's like I don't know his official title, but he's a marketing manager or something.
Yeah,
like that.
He does stuff for, like, I think it's a lot of cinema stuff too.
Mm-hmm.
So he does like Kink and cinema marketing. Yeah.
Wow.
And like, he just moved to Portland, so he's just living it.
Does Zach do much at Kink anymore?
I think Zach does international sales.
Okay.
And then I know he like keeps in touch with a bunch of people. Yeah. Like, Zach's still in it and in the loop.
Yeah.
He's just like, you know, all the more like day-to-day pay attention to shit, he knows that like Matt's got it.
Yeah.
And Jay's got his eyes on everything else.
That's, I mean, you know, Zach Phillips was obviously a rider owned company, but you know, it gets to a point where you go, hey, there needs to be that next generation that's a little more in tune with what's happening. And he's like, it's sick that he found people that are able to, like, he can hand the keys over to them essentially.
Yeah.
He can pay attention to the bottom line or something like that, but like,
no, he fully trusts those dudes.
Yeah, that's sick. That's so cool that it's like,
and they, I mean, they care, like, their lives are like, they're in this day in, day out. There's no looking for an out. They love BMX, they love Kink, and it's great to be a part of something like that.
It is really sick.
Well, do you have an idea of like, Is there a role for you in there at any point down the road? Or
I don't think so. I love BMX and I love being a rider.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, hopefully a long ways from now down the road, I just love riding. And mm-hmm. I'm, you know, I'd like to do something with like fitness or like, but like training people, like how Greg helped me.
Yeah.
Like, I would like to help people who need help and want to be helped.
Yeah.
So I'd like to do something like that maybe, and then maybe pick up the video camera a little more again.
Cool.
But
yeah.
Cool.
The video stuff's good. Yeah. Oh, you brought up the still standing part, and I was like, oh yeah, that was Dan.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was sick. So what about you? Van life?
Van life.
What do you do with that thing?
Well, I've been in the van for probably about 6-7 months now. And I don't know. Just been hanging out. I cruised down to Austin for a little bit, hung out with Dan, and then
parks it in my lot.
Yeah,
just parks that thing right behind my apartment.
For neighbors, and then spent the summer at Woodward. That was a good time.
But that was kind of on accident too, right?
Yeah, I was only supposed to be there for the first week, and then just ended up staying the whole time.
Foam pit.
Yeah, foam pit hero.
No, he's jumping over the foam.
Yeah, he's right? going. He's over the
phone. Yeah, I went to Woodward East twice in the last month and a half.
Oh yeah, you're a Woodward guy now.
Yeah, bro. I gotta get a van and park behind them over there. But yeah, like he's flying over the whole building.
Yeah, I heard about the 13-footer.
Yeah. Oh, dude. Pelling at that thing, I'm sure, just in the middle of nowhere, just like a big quarter pipe and nothing else is around you.
Oh,
like,
yeah, that no-hander.
The quarter pipe.
Yeah.
Matt Hoffman shit. Yeah. Paddling down just crappy gravel as fast as you can at this big quarter pipe.
Yeah.
It was cool.
Yeah, I don't know. Is there upcoming projects for either of you guys? You got anything going on after this? Or? You're going to Battle of Hastings, I know that. Which is
I'm stoked for that.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Can't wait.
Yeah, you'll fucking kill that park.
Yeah, I'm excited. Yeah.
I can't wait to watch you ride that bull from afar. I'm not going.
From my clicking machine.
Yeah. But no, I'm going to start just working on my own thing, especially with like no parts stuff lined up. Like, you know, I'll do whatever. I don't think I have any kink stuff lined up other than going on trips constantly, which is sick. But like, I want to make my own part where I'll have my friends film it with my cameras and do it for fun and be something that like, I'm proud of on all ends.
Yeah.
So I'll probably work on it for a little while, but I'm going to start doing that.
What do you have to say to any up and coming riders that want to pursue trying to be a professional bike rider?
Love it. You just have to love it.
First.
Like, yeah. Love it first and love it for the BMX. You know, like I think like anyone would say the day you worry about the money or like, getting recognition or what the fuck ever, like you've gone off the path. I think that's the only good thing about injuries for me is like, it's like reset what I really care about. And I just care about riding and like pushing myself. And that's all that matters.
Yeah. Is there the crew in Austin? Who's your crew, I guess?
I feel like
the scene in Austin is obviously there was like, the golden era of Austin, but I feel like the scene now is still,
it's like really, a revamped era.
Yeah, it's really strong.
Yeah, it's like, I mean, Brett and I ride every day. It'll be like Brett, Jared Duncan, Julian Ortega, Hobie. I'm sure there's people saying they're gonna be mad at me.
No, it's okay.
But
your boy Daryl.
Yeah, but Daryl's like Daryl's. He's busy sometimes.
Yeah,
he's so busy. Anytime Daryl can get out, he does. Yeah. But like, you know, Daryl's got shit to do.
Yeah.
But yeah, like that crew, we go out all the time. Like we'll ride a park in the morning and then go take the cameras out and try and find something to do in the day. And like, then we'll go to a park at night. Like there's days where like, I think Jared and Julian work part time, but when they're not working, like we'll be out riding all day together. And it's really awesome. And Brett works too, but he is constantly riding.
Yeah, he is.
Brett will wake up at 8 a.m. like and go straight to riding. He just is so, he loves it.
See, I think I was talking to somebody else recently who just got a job and after being a pro for a super long time, and they're like, having a job just makes me focus on the time that I do have to ride, and I go in and I get it fucking done, and I get just as much done as I did before, but it's just like condensed in a more time, and it's like it gives that schedule and that regiment of stuff really does, like even if you have a part-time job, it's like it gives you a reason to get out of bed.
Yeah,
kind of like what you were saying earlier, I gotta get out of bed, I'm done at 1, I go fucking cruise, my day is full and complete, and I'm like fulfilled.
Yeah,
you know, like as a human being.
Yeah, it seems like it could give a lot of people structure.
Yeah,
structure. Yeah. I feel like, just without structure, you just, it's too much time on your hands. It's like not, it's just not a good thing. Because then you're wondering, like, am I doing enough? Am I happy? Should I be doing something differently? Like, would that make me happier? And then it's like, that's not productive. Sitting there having those thoughts over and over again.
To a point, yeah.
Yeah. You need to ask yourself.
Answer the question and then be done. Yeah. What are those dudes like Julian and Jared and stuff, what do they say about Austin versus California? Are they,
you know? They love it. They wanted to move back for a second, and then they went back on a trip for like a week, and we're like, Nope. Like, no. They just, I feel like it's harder for them to get a squad to go every day, and everything's just more spread out here, you know? Mm-hmm. In Austin, we all get together and we're like super in one spot, mm-hmm. and can go from place to place together. Where here, you got dudes that live in Temecula and dudes that live, you know, in Long Beach, and like, it's just, it's easier there because we're all pretty close to each other.
Yeah. No, I was like, do you ride with Dugan?
Yeah, mornings at House Park, I do ride with Dugan. Yeah. I love riding with Dugan. I love just hanging with him. He's fucking nuts.
High energy.
So good though. Like, yeah, it is. He's not over the top to me in any way. He's just fun to be around. He's funny, but like, yeah. Like Dugan, Aaron, Chase, I love when I get to hang out with those dudes. But it's just usually a different setting. It's not like going out street riding. It's like we'll all hang out in the morning and then everyone goes off and does their own thing. All
right. Cool.
Do you have any other, like, do you have any goals within BMX that you want to achieve? Like, you don't have to share them if you don't want to, but just like certain things that you think about a lot, or different projects you want to work on. Do you have a goal to maybe want to be in the X Games, the original one, like anything?
Yeah. You know, I made a checklist. Like, I legitimately wrote down a checklist when I was like 19, and I kind of checked them all off. Maybe I aimed too low.
No.
But like, it was kind of like, okay, like, or I was like 18. I was like, okay, turn pro for Kink. Like, that's what I want. And like, get a part sponsor. And then it was like, turn pro for that part sponsor. And then it was like, get into the real BMX. And it was like, move somewhere else. And it was like, do all these things. And then it was like, okay, wow. Like, they actually, like, I got there in those ways. And that's great. But that's not, it's never enough, you know? Mm-hmm. Not once was it like, oh, cool, I'm doing this. It's like, you have to do this now. Like, it's time to do this. And yeah, I would love to get more into contest stuff. Like, I feel like, especially when I'm like on a weekday riding a plaza park by myself, like, I think that would help. That helps for contest shit. And I would like to go back now, because it's been a long time since I've gone to something like that, and do that. And like, I want to put out a video part, like I said, working on my own thing, but like, have it be like an actual part, not like 2 minutes I put together, like, cool, let's put it out.
Yeah.
Like, I want it to be like, I know when it's done.
Do you feel like you've improved in that? Like, well, I feel like the contest stuff is always like, it's so small overall.
Yeah.
And it's like, it'd be nice if that stuff got a little bit bigger and a little more official. I mean, so it like kind of catered to people that,
yeah,
that are willing to do technical stuff, but on a bigger level.
Looking at like, if I look at like the old X Games street setups, like, mm-hmm. there was like a, I think like a 16 stair or something at one of them.
Yeah.
Like, that's like the type of
contest. That's the one, right?
Yeah.
Everybody always talks about that one.
Yeah.
That was a big ass rail.
It was a big ass rail. And it was like, there was still good hips and shit. Yeah. It was like, but it was like a real course.
Like, yeah, I feel like it would be more natural to the bike rider, right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It's
gotten to a point which is so, everyone is who goes to that shit is so fucking dialed. It's amazing, but it is so technical. And for the most part, like, no handrail is bigger than an 8 stair. So like, unless you're going to bar back crook or some crazy shit, it's like, what are you going to do?
Yeah. It's definitely, it's like a different style of riding.
Yeah. And it's
to a degree.
It's nuts. It's so cool to see, but I would like to do something more. I would love to do a contest of like big street shit where it's like a made course, but that would be fun.
A little more Cindy.
And just to see how people would do it differently. Cause those dudes would still murder it, but it'd be interesting to see like the difference.
Yeah. I think we talked about recently that HB contest that was like, it was a video part. They filmed for like 2 days and they could do a video part. And then they had like a standing contest too.
Oh, the one on the beach.
Yeah. It was like a team. Yeah.
That was like 2012.
Harrington was in
Harrington.
That.
Harrington. Yeah. It was like Harrington, Sexton, Garrett, Tammy was in it.
Yeah. Tammy was in it.
Downside pegs to bar. Yeah.
And then that three toboggan like he does over the box.
Oh, yeah. Somebody, one of those the early 2000s,
posted
a photo of that.
I saw that.
Yeah, I'm going to fucking find it.
Yeah, dude. I think he did like, over X to back over bar on like a barrier. Yeah, from the contest too.
Pretty wild, man.
Get that guy on this freaking podcast.
Is that Miles down there filming him?
I don't know.
I think it was Christian.
I think it's Christian.
Oh, yeah. Christian. Okay.
Wayla.
Oh, I can see the stance. That's definitely Christian.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Look at that.
Got the wide stance. Yeah.
He's got the swag stance.
Have you
the old Christian stance? Now he's like this.
Yeah, it's totally different now.
Yeah. But I'm like that too, so it's all right.
Do you ride any other bikes other than BMX bikes, or do you like road bikes, mountain bikes, anything?
No. How funny does Tony Hamlin look on a mountain bike?
Ooh, he's not going to be happy about that, but pretty fucking funny. He is a little guy, and that is a big bike. It's a little guy and a big bike.
I'm glad anytime I can just fuck with Tony just a little bit. So.
It's funny. It's funny to watch that transition. Like, that's so prevalent now.
Yeah.
But yeah,
I mean, it's always been that way.
Yeah,
let's be real, it always is that way. But it's funny.
I don't know. Am I just noticing it more now?
I think so. But it's always been that way. Like a fucking Darren Bearcloth. Like, that's like a OG mountain biker, like legend in freestyle mountain biking.
Was a BMX guy.
Nikolai Rogatin, if I said his name right.
I used to ride against him in contests when I was a kid.
Yeah. And he beat you.
Yeah, for sure. I have 3 second place, like Woodward plaques. And so everyone who's like, why are they all second place? I'm like, well, I was like 11 and that Nikolai.
He was really good, man. Yeah. So, I mean, it's like, it's always kind of been like that. But maybe it's more. I don't know. I like to deny that. But
I don't know.
In my head. Same.
Any words of inspiration for the people watching? Kids, adults?
For Jaden. Yeah.
For Jaden?
Jaden, you have any inspirational words for Dan?
Yeah, let's hear what you got. Let's hear some 19-year-old words of inspiration. For someone who knows me, what you got for me?
What's one thing you would change about Dan? One thing I would change about Dan?
Let's hear it. Look me in the eye when you say
it. I want to know a funny story about Dan.
Yeah.
So Dan's favorite movie of all time is Batman. Dan fucking loves Batman.
And the Dark Knight ones.
Yeah, the Dark Knight.
It's funny because when we were talking about the R8 and you were talking about driving around it at night, and I was like, are you fucking bad? Batman or something?
I literally almost said that. Yeah. So he wants to get this like bat suit.
This isn't real story.
This is real story. The bat suit is sick though. Like, it's like legit.
I looked into buying the replica suit. It'd be hilarious to have that in your
closet.
Wait,
I thought it wasn't a real story.
Well, I'm saying I wasn't actually going to get this thing, but imagine like someone opens your closet and you just have that there and you got to play it off like you're not a weirdo.
He always talks about like getting in the bat suit and then driving the car around and like going out and like pretending to like fight crime.
Yeah. Hey, don't jaywalk.
Saving a cat from a tree. Yeah. You're like, I'm going to get your cat down. And then you like shoot it down. Dugan and I were talking about that one day, like perching up like you're going to do something good and you go to save someone's cat, but you just accidentally kill a cat by throwing it out of a tree. And you're like, you're welcome. Like, that fucking weirdo just killed my cat in a Batman suit.
I think we'll end on that one. Thank you, Dan.
Thank you,
thank
guys.
Thank you, Batman. Thank you, Jaden.
Yeah, I appreciate that story.
That's awesome. Dan loves that. Like, he's like, this is not a real story. He's like, yeah, but how good would it be?
Yeah. Well, what a good skit that would be.
You got to get a clip in a Batman kit.
So. All right. Oh, man. Thank you.